I'd like to start with a book by Max Lucado, my favorite author here, entitled Outlive Your Life. You were made to make a difference. Max writes, first of all, I want to read a fable. It's called Finding Father Benjamin. Unfavorable winds blow the ship off course, and when they do, the sailors spot uncharted islands. The captain orders the men to drop anchor and goes ashore. On the first island, he sees nothing but sadness, underfed children, tribes in conflict, no farming or food development, no treatment for the sick, and no schools, just simple, needy people. The second and following islands reveal more of the same. Then he steps onto the last and largest island. The people are healthy and well-fed. Irrigation systems nourish their fields, and roads connect the villages. The children have bright eyes and strong bodies. The captain asks the chief for an explanation. How has this island moved so far ahead of the others? The chief gives a quick response. Father Benjamin. He educated us in everything from agriculture to health. He built schools and clinics and dug wells. The captain asks, can you take me to see him? The chief nods and signals for the two tribesmen to join him, and they guide the captain over a jungle ridge to a simple medical clinic. It is equipped with clean beds and staffed with trained caretakers. They show the captain shelves of medicine and introduce him to the staff. The captain, though impressed, sees nothing of Father Benjamin. He repeats his request. I would like to see Father Benjamin. Can you take me to where he lives? The three natives look puzzled. They confer, and after a few minutes, they invite him. Follow us to the other side of the island. And they walk till they reach a series of fish ponds. Canals connect the ponds to the ocean. As the tide rises, fish pass from the ocean into the ponds, and the islanders then lower the canal gates and trap the fish for harvest. Again, the captain is amazed. He meets all the fishermen and workers, but he sees nothing of Father Benjamin. I don't see Father Benjamin. Please take me to where he lives. Again, the three talk. After some discussion, the chief says, let's go up the mountain. And they lead the captain up a steep, narrow path. Okay, the voice of the, they are finally reach the front of a grass-roofed chapel. The voice of the chief is soft and earnest. He has taught us about God. He escorts the captain inside and shows him the altar, a large wooden cross, benches, and a Bible. Is this where Father Benjamin lives? The captain asks. The men nod and smile. May I talk to him? Their faces suddenly grow serious. Oh, that would be impossible. Why? He died many years ago. The bewildered captain stares at the men. I asked to see him, and you showed me a clinic, some fish farms, and this chapel. You said nothing of his death. Well, you didn't ask about his death, the chief explains. You asked to see where he lives, and we showed you. Whoa. You get it? Okay. Well, Max writes, you have been given your life. No one else has your version. You'll never meet anyone who has your unique blend of background, loves, longings, and talents. And yours and my lives are racing by. And if we aren't careful, you and I will look up, and our shot at it will have passed us by. You want your life to matter. But how can you? How can I? Can God use us? Check out the book of Acts in the Bible. The 120 members of the First Jerusalem Church of ancient Israel were just ordinary people like us, but they had a desire to change the world. Because God was in it. Is he still? Would God do with us what he did with his first followers? ours is the wealthiest generation of Christians ever. We are bright, educated, experienced. We have sophisticated research and medicines. We have ample resources. God has given our generation everything we need to alter the course of human suffering. We are created by God, by a great God, to do great works. He invites us to outlive our lives here on earth with goodness that outlives the grave and love that outlives the final breath. Does God use people like us? If you are in Christ, God's Spirit will speak through you. Discover your language. With whom do you feel most fluent? Teenagers, drug addicts, the elderly, children? This is how God has designed you. And God, and for whom do you feel the most compassion? Because God doesn't burden us equally. When does your heart break and your pulse race? When you spot the homeless? When you see victims of sex trade in Cambodia? This tragedy broke the hearts of three American women who started a ministry called World Hope and rescued 400 children, ages 2 to 15, in 3 years. Does God use the ordinary person? Well, 80-year-old Edith Hayes and her army of 100 silver-haired women would say yes. With compassion for cancer patients, with unglamorous sore seepage, they made cancer wounds their mission, stitching and delivering truckloads of disposable pads to patients each week. Joe and Edith Page would agree. Their army of retirees make doll-sized clothing for premature infants. They make sure these tiny babies have something to wear. Then there's 9-year-old Caleb, this is for the kids, who wants the kids of El Salvador to have a clean drinking water. When he heard in Sunday school about kids dying from preventable diseases because of lack of clean water, he took the $20 that he had been saving for a new video game, and he asked his father to match it. Then he challenged the entire church staff to follow his example. And the result? Enough money to dig 2 wells in El Salvador. Edith, Joe, Liz, and Caleb are regular folks. They don't have a solution to world suffering, but they believe that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. We are all given a choice, an opportunity to make a big difference during a difficult time. What if we all followed the example of the first church in the book of Acts? Galatians 6:4 says, "Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that." Okay, today I'm taking you to India. Hopefully we'll have pictures. Okay. We have 2 missions that we support, Pastor Viv Penfold with Missionary Ventures and the New Life Ministry Orphans in India. Okay, the first picture. All right. This is Pastor Viv and Jean Penfold, who for years planted churches and started some ongoing projects in India under his own No Limits ministry. Now he and Jean are working mostly near their home in England, having turned over the care of these projects to Missionary Ventures. You can read more about these ministries online at their website, and I put the website on pieces of paper out there in the foyer. Viv and his team were instrumental, number 2, in starting 3 children's homes in the state of Andhra Pradesh in India. Are we getting the kids? We're getting the kids. The Church of Toll House donations pay for the upkeep of one of these children's homes, that Tanuku Children's Home. At the three homes altogether, there are 40 children. The budget for the Tanuku children has been reduced due to the weakness of the pound and the rupee against the dollar. And we badly need some more sponsors for these children. If you would like to donate or sponsor an orphan, please see the instructions on the table in the foyer. Without the three children's homes, these 40 children would be begging in the street or worse. Not only are we giving these children a home with meals and a bed, they are also taught that Jesus loves them and who he is and what he's done. Good, got the picture. In addition, they attend school and have help preparing themselves for jobs as adults. Okay, the third project, it was started by No Limits Ministry, is called the Isnapur Medical Center. And it's located in a slum area outside the city of Hyderabad. When medical help was first offered before the center was built, 300 families came for care, as there was no other medical care in this slum area. The building is now complete, but help is always needed to equip and run the center. Then the fourth project is the Kingdom Discipleship Center, where interested persons are first taught about Christ and then later taken into ministry. Hundreds of new churches have been planted through the efforts of this center's leaders. These ministries are a shining light in a very dark place. Okay. India has a population of 1.3 billion people. 80% are Hindus. And it's also the birthplace of Buddhism, which has the second, and it has the second largest Muslim population of 170 million. There are more than 27 million Christians in India, but that's just a minority of 2%. But the church is growing. In 2018, there was an attack on Christians in certain states every 24 hours. Their prosecutors are largely from the RSS, which is the Hindu Nationalist Organization. The 20% increase of attacks has been under the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who says he is against religious discrimination, but his actions prove otherwise. Anti-conversion laws, which are against Hindus becoming Christians, have been passed in some states. But in spite of the new restrictions, the Christian church is still growing. Okay, RSS informants in almost every village report on Christian activities. Yes, okay. Leading to attacks and arrests. Churches are often demolished, and Bibles are burned. Pastors are beaten and jailed, usually held for 3 weeks and then released. The next picture. What is the cost of being a Christian today in India? The woman in the upper left's name is Poonam, and she quietly left Hinduism, and the Bible she obtained, she became a Christian, and the Bible she obtained became her most prized possession, which she would read secretly. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, that's better. Okay. When her husband found out, he yelled, "From today on, you stop reading the Bible, and as long as you live in this house, you better not pray." Well, when Poonam refused, she was beaten. Her Bible was torn up, which she shows here, and she was kicked out of the house and could no longer see her three children. She stayed with relatives and prayed for the return of everything she had lost. Over time, God has restored her marriage and her family, And her husband has even attended church a few times just to see how Christians worship. With a new Bible, Poonam says, "My Bible is everything to me. It is the living word of God." The young man in the upper right, his name is Sutta, and he was nearly beaten to death by Hindu activists for sharing the gospel. But he was rescued by one of his persecutors, whom he later led to Christ. And that's the man next to him there. Sutta continues to minister in his own village and the village where he was beaten. Although persecution in the area is increasing, Sutta asks us to pray that he will remain bold in his work and his followers will remain faithful and new villages will be reached with the gospel. The bottom picture is 37-year-old Pastor Kabir with his family. After he finished leading a prayer service at a church of 40 believers in one of India's slums, he was followed by members of a youth militia who dragged him off the bus and kidnapped him. They wanted to make a video of him being forced to deny Jesus. They kicked and beat him on the head with the handle of a knife, which ruptured one of his eardrums just on one side. They ordered him to return to Hinduism, but Kabir replied, "I am going to serve the Lord only. I am not going to worship idols. I am going to serve Jesus." The beatings continued for 90 minutes, and still he refused. Frustrated, his attackers said they'd kill him if he preached again and they burned his Bible. But Kabir recovered, and his church has grown from 40 to 60 members, and his wife and daughters are firm in their faith. His wife, Ishita, says, "There is persecution in Christian life, but I know God is there with us. I'm not scared because God has told us he is always with us, and he is going to protect us, and he is strengthening us." Okay, the next picture, please. In spite of persecution, people in India continue to meet outdoors if there's no church building. Yeah. Great. Okay, my last picture. Distributing Bibles, study materials, and Christian music on digital music players or memory cards is an effective way of sharing God's word without the risks of a printed Bible. Okay. So please don't forget the orphans in the Tanuku Children's Home. This is one way we can shine the light of Jesus in a dark place. Our children are our future, and the church is growing in India, and we can be a part of that. And thank you, Dwayne and Ron and George, for figuring out how to put the pictures up. Thank you.